Welcome to Make a Baby with Hashimoto's, where we will chat all things Hashimoto's and baby making. I'm Chelsea, registered dietitian and spiritual healer. I'm also a Hashimoto's warrior and mom of one.
And I'm Morgan. I'm a registered nurse, fellow Hashimoto's warrior, and a new mom of one as well. And we're so excited to help guide you through this amazing journey. Let's make a baby. Welcome back, guys. We are here for another episode. Chelsea and I were talking all about postpartum flare and what that entails, especially when you have Hashimoto's. Mm-hmm. I know both of us went through postpartum flares after we delivered our babies. And for me, I just remember, I thought it would be immediate. I thought I would deliver and then I would feel this crappiness, oh, my Hashimoto's is flaring up, here it is. But what surprised me the most was that it took a while. It took a few months until I started to get my Hashimoto's symptoms back. And that's probably what was so shocking. I don't know why I thought it would be immediate. I just thought we deliver the baby and then here it comes, the big kahuna, but it wasn't like that at all. It was more of a gradual thing. And mm-hmm. It was kind of confusing for me because I had trouble differentiating, was it just postpartum and regular postpartum, or is it actually Hashimoto's related? So that was difficult. And I still feel it's tricky sometimes for women to determine, is it just strictly postpartum or is it Hashimoto's? Because they're very similar. Some of those symptoms are very similar. I know for me, weight gain, obviously you're starting to lose some of the baby weight after you deliver. But that was something I feel like I just hit a number and it just stopped. And I was okay, is this because I'm in a flare and I'm not able to lose the rest of my baby weight? Or, is it just because things are different now? That was a big challenge for me and kind of mentally difficult in my head to get past. Yeah. Obviously sleep played a huge part in my flare, my Hashimoto's flare and postpartum, because you're a new mom, you're not sleeping like you were before. Mm-hmm. And so I think getting my sleep back to where it needed to be was something that helped me kind of go, okay, this is subsiding. I think that's Hashimoto's related. And this is more postpartum related.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was like for you. I know you had a flare, but I don't know what symptoms you experienced necessarily, mm-hmm. or how you differentiated between what was what.
So as you were talking, I'm writing down literally mm-hmm. all of my symptoms on a post-it note. And I'm okay, they're all postpartum symptoms, right? Fatigue, hair loss, weight gain, joint pain, dry skin, bloat, gut issues, brain fog, depression, anxiety, a crash,
all the things
I felt immediately postpartum, but 10 times worse. Mm-hmm. It felt a little different to me in that I obviously could brush it on the rug and be like, oh, I'm sleeping in 3-hour shifts.
Right.
Of course this is happening. But then I realized that even no matter how much I slept, no matter how well I ate or paid attention to my body or whatever it was, none of it mattered. And that's when I was like, okay, time to get blood work. Let's see what's going on. And lo and behold, my thyroid levels were increasing again, which meant I needed an increase of my dose of medication. Mm-hmm. But the one symptom, the only one that I have not been able to get under control postpartum, has been the weight gain.
Yeah.
It has been, I feel like I got home and I did weigh myself when I got home, because I was just curious, genuine curiosity. And I was like, okay, wow. I lost basically what I had gained through pregnancy, which is what I expected. I gained the baby. Mm-hmm. I really didn't gain much weight. I am overweight, so it didn't, I didn't need to gain weight. I was fine. And it just has gone up since there. Mm-hmm. I have gained probably 25 pounds I did have, like, I did go to the doctor and I wanted them to weigh me, so I know what it was, but now it's just a number to me. It doesn't really matter, but it has done nothing but go up. I have done stool tests. I have literally pooped in a French fry tray and mixed my stool. I have done hormone tests. I've done a Dutch test. I've done it all, and everything is coming back normal. So I'm not quite sure what is going on, but this has been like the only symptom postpartum so far that I have not been able to conquer. And this is something that I have seen in a lot of the women I've worked with. This is this one pesky symptom of waking. Obviously I'm fatigued and tired and I have brain fog, but like my numbers are good. Like I literally just had a call with my endocrinologist this morning. Like every TSH is good, T4, T3, like everything is good, even on my standards. So like the lab numbers I use in practice. Great. So who knows what's happening, but I really thought this is another thing. No one warns you postpartum that if you breastfed, you lost weight.
Oh, I feel like that's a giant myth. Cause like we've slowly weaned, like we're basically done. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I lost 10 pounds when I like started slowing down the breastfeeding, which was weird. Cause like you, I always heard, oh, if you breastfeed, like the weight will come off faster. Like that's how you lose weight, blah, 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 blah. And that was not the case at all. Yeah. Like I hit a number and like, that's just where I stayed. And it was probably about 15 pounds, like higher than what I was pre-pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And, but like once I started like weaning Abe from breastfeeding, that's when I noticed, like, I think it was like a hormonal shift too, because mm-hmm. I felt like the brain fog kind of went away a little bit. It was great. Bad. And I never would have guessed that that had any correlation with like the breastfeeding aspect of it. But I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, you are supporting another human, so your body's just like, it's probably holding on to that little bit of extra weight just to make sure that you can support that other person. I mean, you are feeding a baby. So that kind of, in my head, that's how I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And once we like started to slow down, that's when I noticed, and I don't weigh myself really all that often ever. I just started like noticing that I started feeling more, I don't know, like myself.
Yeah.
I just started feeling less like hormonally. I don't know.
Yeah.
And that made me like weigh myself. And I was like, oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this is just proof that everyone is so different. like there's no what, like we have on our list of things to talk about today, like what to expect. And I feel like we can't even tell you what to expect, because definitely expect a flare. That's what we can tell you. What we mean by that is expect some symptoms to come back and expect to get tested. Like that is the number one thing that I think has really helped me release a lot of the expectation that I need to be like really, really on top of things, is that I know I can just call my endocrinologist and get blood work, and it explains a lot, whether it's good or bad. Majority of it is explainable. And that's one of the reasons why I do love and enjoy, like, the geek inside of me loves blood work, because it is a look. It's not a tell all be all, right? How you feel is the most important. Your body knows best, and you know your body better than anyone. But blood work typically gives us a lot of insight into what's going on or what could be happening that we're not picking up on, and like a direction to go in. Mm-hmm. So I definitely recommend postpartum. I mean, the first few months postpartum, I still went every 3 months. Up until about, I mean, I guess 6 months. So I went twice postpartum. And I didn't start my flare until about 4 or 5 months. So it kind of made sense to do it then.
I was going to say, I know like my first two lab draws at like in my postpartum, I think I did one 6 weeks postpartum, and then another one, I did one a couple weeks later, just because I started not like, I just didn't feel, I had like brain fog. And that's, I think, when I started losing a lot of my hair, which is normal postpartum, but I was just like, oh, I think I need to get my labs drawn. But they were both like within range and we didn't do any adjusting, and I've yet to get my labs drawn since then. I know I probably need them drawn.
Tisk, tisk.
Yeah, tisk tisk is right. So that's on my list of things I need to get done for myself. So it'll happen. It's gonna happen. But yeah, definitely just get your blood work drawn. And if you're not feeling right, or you feel like something's off, or like you're in that flare, there's nothing wrong with calling and asking if they can, you know, do more labs for you. Mm-hmm. And it probably wouldn't even hurt to have like a CBC done as well, or a CMP.
Because, all of it.
Yeah. I mean, you could be anemic postpartum. That could be part of like your fatigue or not feeling completely 100%. You know, a lot of times we bleed pretty heavy postpartum, so for you to be anemic wouldn't be out of the question. And so I think, you know, just checking everything is great to kind of know where you stand and where your body's at.
Yeah.
But
I would say like my flare. So I'm trying to remember like when I realized I was in the flare. And like I said before, I think it's when I would just like, I did get to sleep. Like Bobby would let me sleep. Like I'm like, I just need a full night of sleep, and I would get to sleep and it didn't feel like it did anything. And that's when I was like, all right, something's up. And I feel like that feeling lasted probably, I want to say at least 2 to 3 months. Now that's a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a long time to feel like crap every day. But obviously, as a new parent, you got to find time to figure out when to go get blood work done. And it just didn't work. And because I was postpartum, the doctor wanted to see me. So it's like I couldn't even just like call it in like I normally do, which I totally get. But what I needed was an adjustment in my medication. I also was super low on vitamin D. So I upped that, which has been super helpful with my fatigue. Yeah. And when I stopped, I of course was low again. So now I'm taking it again. but I definitely recommend that this is one of the times where asking for help in the sense of getting blood work and having someone interpret it for you is going to be really helpful, whether you're on medication or not. I think just like knowing that, okay, I'm in a flare, like this is not forever, and there's lots of things you can do to help yourself during a flare, is really just helpful. But maybe that's the control freak in me. Like I need to have an answer for everything.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, it's nice knowing too. And in like my scenario, I feel like I want to know, like if something's wrong or not right, like I would like to have my medication adjusted. Mm-hmm. I would like to feel better. So I don't feel like that's control freaky. I think that's just wanting to like feel your best and know that like things are okay.
Yeah. Since that medication change, I've been on the same dose until now. So, and I just, like I said, I just got blood work done and things are great. And like I said, I have rectified a lot of the symptoms I was having. So the major fatigue, I mean, comes and goes. Mm-hmm. I think that your hormones and your monthly cycle and things like that do play a role in that. But especially if you have other autoimmune diseases, you kind of got to like control them all. Hair loss is 100% slowed down. Like I lose like the normal amount of hair. And for me, that was always a lot, but it's even less than that now, which, oh my gosh, postpartum, my hair, did you have the same thing? Scary. Chunks.
Yes.
I have never, it was terrifying. Like,
it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming out. And it is scary. Like it's a lot of hair.
Yeah. And my hair has not been the same. They always say, you know, like hair loss, like my hair is thinner and there's less of it.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't look like it usually.
I just started, like I said this to my sister, I was like, do you see these little baby hairs right here? Like they're just sticking straight up. I was like, I think that's hair growing back after like losing all my hair postpartum. Oh, yeah. Like it's real obnoxious.
Like, I have like bald spot. Like this all used to be hair.
Yes. I feel the same, like my hairline receding.
Yes. And literally I'm like, I know you, unless we put out the video of this, but you can't see what we're talking about, but like right next, like right on our foreheads, it feels like it's just like not there anymore. But that's a common thing to happen postpartum, so we're warning you about it. But definitely regrowth. I'm definitely getting regrowth now too, and they're untamable, and they're gray, which is so frustrating to me because now I don't have to dye my hair obviously, but I'm not even 30 yet, and like I don't need all these grays. So I did go get it dyed, really mostly for the wedding, but that's a whole other story. So that's hair loss. Weight gain, like I said, something I'm still on that journey. And if I get it figured out, I'll let you know. Who knows what's happening in the future, but the good thing is that there are solutions, and I'm at a point in this journey where I just want to be able to be around for my daughter. I want to be able to walk and not be out of breath. I want to be able to like get up and down and hold her, because she's like getting bigger, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, she's 20 something pounds now. Yeah. And I'm like out of breath carrying her up the stairs. So we're working on that. Joint pain has completely gone away for the most part. I think a lot of that has to do with diet, but also hydration and, the supplements I'm taking. Dry skin, still working on that. Definitely have had bouts of, I wouldn't say psoriasis, because I've never been diagnosed with psoriasis on my scalp or anywhere, but like dry patches, flaky scalp.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like I will have said this, like ever since leaving the hospital after having Abe, I'm like, my ankles are so dry, my ankles and my elbows. Never have been like that ever before in my life, and honestly never like chucked it up to like postpartum, but that does make sense. But
yeah,
so dry,
dry skin, so dry, and it's like disgusting. Yeah, it's not disgusting, I don't mean that in any way, but like I feel disgusting.
Yeah, when that happens. Just not used to it being like that either.
Yeah, and like I moisturize all the time and it just doesn't matter. So that's a symptom, I guess, we're working on too, but I have figured out ways to stop the flaky scalp, and I'm, you know, my skin is getting better. So it's just, you're working on it. Yeah. The bloat depends on what I'm eating, honestly, at this point. Yeah. You know, I kind of know my body really well at this point. So that has really helped with the bloat, but don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'm eating things and I'm like, F it with the bloat. Just life. Yeah. Same thing with gut issues, the brain fog. I will say the mom brain and the brain fog differentiation is really hard. And what I feel like how I can differentiate it is I'm forgetful in that someone could talk to me right in my face and I'm like understanding it. And 3 minutes later, they're like, oh, remember when I said this? And I'm like, not a clue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that to me is definitely a mixture of mom brain and brain fog, but I would say that's more mom brain, because I'm like just paying attention to one thing.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes you're just so focused on like your baby and like what's going on. And like, I don't know, you got so much going on in your head sometimes about what you have, what's going on in your house, that when someone's talking to you, I feel like a lot of times I end up tuning someone out and then I'm like, I'm sorry, what did you say? Like, that's just how it is lately.
Yeah. Literally with my family, I'm a very honest person, if you haven't gotten that yet. And I literally am like, I was not listening to anything you just said. They're always like, of course you weren't. I'm like, my brain like can't absorb it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But being forgetful is like the big thing. And it frustrates me a lot because I like have zero recollection of some things that I know happened. Like subconsciously, I'm like, right, I was in the kitchen when that happened, but like the conversation is lost.
Like not there.
Yeah. The next one I have that I see in a lot of people, but also myself, is depression and anxiety, which is two. Because you could just have anxiety or just have depression. And luckily I'm medicated, and without that, I'm thankful for that medication every day. And it's been wonderful, but that's another thing postpartum. And at any point of your healing journey, like have a therapist and a psychiatrist, just have someone to talk to who's a professional in this specific area. You don't have to try medication if you're not open to it, but just having someone who's a professional, like take that expectation off of you, has been so wonderful.
Yeah. And they might be able to like help you determine like, what is depression? Like, what is anxiety? Or like, why are you having those things? You know, what's causing it? I think talking about that can help you determine, like, do I need medication for this?
Right.
Or is it just, you know, is this just sometimes you have anxiety because you're a new mom and you're like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And like, that's normal too. But there's a point where like, seek help,
it becomes too much. Mm-hmm. I definitely, and I don't know about you, I see this is another forgetful thing. I feel like I've told you this story, but I don't know if I told you on the podcast or we were just talking. But I was speaking with my therapist and she was like, how is your anxiety and depression? I said, you know, I don't know if this is a bad thing, but I definitely have thoughts sometimes that like the baby stopped breathing, or like trigger warning. Okay. But if you're sensitive or in a depressive episode, please don't listen. But I've had the thoughts like, what if I do something to her? Like, what if it's my fault? Like all these things. And she was like, you know, obviously she's like, you're a mom and mom's really worried. Do you feel like it's taking, she handled it beautifully. like, I don't want you to think that she said anything wrong, 'cause she didn't, but she basically was like, that's somewhat normal. Like having I don't have the fear 24/7. It pops in my head randomly and I'm able to control it and be like, that's unrealistic. That's not true. Yeah. Like yeah. You're cool. And it's very rare now. In the beginning, it was a lot. And you know, she basically was like, you know, I am going to say it's normal, but if you feel like it's consuming you, it's overtaking your thoughts, like we need to talk, please reach out, you know, beautiful. Yeah. And so I was telling my sister this and I was like, apparently my anxiety is normal, you know, and we were like laughing at it.
I'm normal, I swear.
And she goes, oh, that's your thing. Like you're scared. Like she's going to stop. Like, I'm like, she sleeps face down. She's going to suffocate. I'm going to walk in one day. Like it was bad. And my sister goes, oh, that was your fear. My fear. And she unlocked a new fear in me is that, that they're going to fall face down. Have I told you this?
Told me this, but not on the podcast.
Okay. Face down in the toilet and drown. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, that's a thing. And so like immediately bought protectors for the toilet, but that's besides the point. Like, I think, and it helped me feel more normal and relatable that like, A, I spoke to my therapist and she kind of was like, this is somewhat normal. Like you're now responsible for a human and you're like, not with, like, I can't be with her 24/7. So who knows? Yeah. And then the other thing is that my sister was also like, oh yeah, no, I feel that. And she has two babies. So like, you know, she's been through this and, yeah. That postpartum anxiety is real, guys. But I think there's a point where if it becomes overwhelming, over-consuming, it's all you can think about all day long, and you just can't come down from that anxious feeling, it's time to seek active, real help. Like, get on the phone, do something. Like, you need to work through that, because being in that mindset and that space, which is very real, it's very common, mm-hmm. is not healthy or normal or comfortable, obviously. And we want to make sure that you know that postpartum comes with a whole slew
of things, yeah,
of depression, anxiety, and all that. Especially with Hashimoto's, it is also a common symptom to have depression and anxiety. So just keep that in mind. I hope I made it a little, you know, you found it a little funny, because now I laugh about it.
I always think of you when I see the toilet open now. I'm like, oh, close the lid.
Close the lid. Come in here. But I'm like, that, I'm not scared. That doesn't, like, see, but this is also, everyone has different fears, and you know, that doesn't scare me really, honestly, truthfully. But I was like, oh, it would be smart to get toilet bowl things. But you know, I think it's okay to have these thoughts as long as they're not constant.
You're consuming, I think.
Yeah,
the big thing. And if you're not sure like where to reach out for help, like you can always call your OBGYN's office, and you know, you can let them know what's going on. You could see a nurse practitioner there. If you're not sure how, like where to go to get a therapist, they can more than likely refer you to someone or evaluate you, see what's going on, and get you the help that you need. Yeah. So just remember, they're always a resource. They delivered their baby. You're still in postpartum. They, you know, they're there to help. So just keep that in mind. And a lot of times too, like, I think women, you go and you see them at that 6-week follow-up, sometimes it hasn't set in like just yet. Mm-hmm. And at the 6-week follow-up, sometimes it's later on. I feel like you're, so much is changing and going on that like once things start to settle down, you know, maybe your anxiety or your depression kicks up, then you can always call them even after that 6-week follow-up and, you know, let them know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and like, that's always an option if you feel like you don't have any other options. But I also understand how scary and uncomfortable that might be, because then you have to call reception and they're like, how can I direct your call? And you're like, I'm depressed, I need help. And they're like, okay, they'll call you back. And it's like,
yeah,
don't want help.
Right.
But luckily nowadays, if you are in need of help right now, there are tons of online, I guess, therapists and practices that you can, like,
you can do a telehealth visit.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And very convenient, like in the comfort of your own home. You get on a computer, on your phone. It doesn't even have to be on a computer nowadays. And they're there to speak to you and like talk you through whatever.
Yeah. Like, I know if I, there have been points where I haven't had a therapist, and if I felt that I needed help, and this has been a big learning curve through my whole Hashimoto's healing journey, not just postpartum, like asking for help and like getting expertise or experts to like guide me through what's actually happening, who understand much better than Google does, is if I would go online and just do one of those, like, if you need help right now, book a session thing. Like, I think I really want to reiterate the fact that you're not alone, and it's, you gotta ask for help. If you're not feeling like yourself and you're having thoughts that aren't you, you gotta ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I demand it. you're worth, you know, like, you're too precious, your life is too, we need you, so just listen to us. The rest of your life, just listen to us. Yeah, I'm very passionate about it, because I've been there and I get it, and those thoughts are really scary. Not only thoughts about what could happen to your kids, but yourself, and like, you're not alone. And if there's one thing TikTok has taught me, is that I'm not alone, because I see tons of these posts, these moms, and it is such a welcoming community to know and to reach out to these people, even just to vent and talk. So that's an important thing. But yeah, postpartum flares, they're toughy, but you can get through them.
Yeah, you can. And that's just it. Like, you can get through them. Remember to ask for help. Just be aware of like what's going on in your body and in your mind, and be conscious of, you know, if this is something that you need to reach out to your doctor or someone, a friend, a parent, just to talk to them and, you know, say, hey, this is going on. What do you think I need to do? You can always reach out to Chelsea or I on our Instagrams. We would love to help you any way possible. So yeah, just keep that in mind. There's lots of people out there to talk to. And if you're like unsure of like, is this a Hashimoto's flare? Is this postpartum? Like, we would love for you guys to reach out to us and just like tell us what's going on. And, you know, we love helping you and hearing from you. So
For sure.
Yeah. Well, do you have anything else to add about postpartum flares?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much spilled our hearts out.
Yeah. Just remember, we're here if you need you, or if you need us. And we'd love to hear from you guys. Leave us a review if you found this helpful, or, you know, if you're going through postpartum flare right now. And hopefully we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.